From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, a concert and conversation with singer, songwriter, and guitarist Richard Thompson. Thompson was the guitarist who rocked the British folk rock group Fairport Convention. His music became more moody, more idiosyncratic after he left the band. His songs have been recorded by Elvis Costello, David Byrne, and R.E.M. Today, Thompson performs some new songs, some old songs, and a surprising song. Richard Thompson coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
From National Public Radio in Washington, I'm Barbara Campbell. Two women and a 14-year-old boy have been killed in Zenica, Bosnia, by a shell that exploded between two high-rise buildings. Zenica is one of the few strongholds remaining for the country's Muslim-led government. The deaths follow a weekend in which scores of people were killed and hundreds injured in artillery attacks on Sarajevo. The carnage has led UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali to ask NATO to approve airstrikes against the Bosnian Serbs, whom many blame for the attacks in the capital. President Clinton, speaking in Houston today, said he welcomes the Secretary General's request.
The Secretary General has now asked that authority be given to our commanders there on the ground to take appropriate action. I very much welcome that request. I have hoped that that would be the case for some time.
The president also says that until the Bosnians resolve their conflicts, the fighting will continue. The defense portion of the Clinton budget proposals being released today increases Pentagon spending by less than $3 billion. But when adjusted for inflation, that means a drop of nearly 1%. The president calls for a cut in active duty troops of 86,000. His plan would eliminate funding for the F-16 fighter plane and would reduce spending on the F-22 stealth fighter. Defense Secretary William Perry says the proposed budget is the bottom line for the nation's security, but aides acknowledge that some in Congress will want bigger cuts. United Parcel Service is asking a federal judge to fine the Teamsters Union $5 million for ignoring a court order not to strike. The union says 50% to 60% of UPS workers stayed home today, but the company says 80% of the workers are on the job. The union is protesting a plan to raise the weight limit on packages. Some UPS workers in the Atlanta area are among those who have walked off the job. Anna Marie Hartman of Peach State Public Radio reports from Atlanta, where the company is based.
Atlanta Teamsters received word of the strike last Thursday afternoon. After negotiations failed on Sunday, union members were notified that the strike was on. Richard Black of Teamsters Local 728 in Atlanta says raising the weight limit on packages from 70 to 150 pounds could lead to more on-the-job injuries.
We must protect the safety and health of our members. That is our number one concern, that the UPS system is not set up to handle these 150-pound packages and that they are willing to sacrifice the safety of our members to get this service started.
Company officials dispute the claim, stating the new weight limit brings UPS in line with industry standards. For National Public Radio, I'm Anna Marie Hartman in Atlanta.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up nearly 33 points in heavy trading. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up a point and three quarters. This is NPR. The Clinton administration has endorsed legislation that would ban or restrict smoking in virtually all commercial and public buildings. The head of the EPA, Carol Browner, says non-smokers should be protected from the cancer-causing properties of secondhand smoke. The tobacco industry denies that the scientific evidence supports such concerns and says a ban would violate the rights of smokers. Congressman Henry Waxman says the bill would save tens of thousands of lives a year and billions of dollars in health care costs, building maintenance, and wages. Police in South Africa have arrested five people in connection with a suspected right-wing sabotage campaign. Some 30 bombings have been reported since early December. NPR's Ann Cooper reports from Johannesburg.
Most of the explosions have occurred late at night, causing damage to buildings but no casualties. Many of the targets have been rail lines and electricity pylons, but the list also includes several branch offices of the ANC and its trade union allies. Today's arrest came after ANC President Nelson Mandela repeatedly criticized the government for failing to act against right-wing terrorists. Police released few details about the arrests and offered no information about the political affiliation of those detained. ANC officials believe the explosions are the work of right-wing whites who are demanding a separate state where they would live after April's elections, the first in which South Africa's black majority will vote. I'm Ann Cooper in Johannesburg.
The woman who narrowly missed upsetting Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter in the 1992 election has announced she's running for Pennsylvania governor. Democrat Lynn Yackel made a strong showing against Specter after he played a prominent role in the politically charged Clarence Thomas Supreme Court confirmation hearings. I'm Barbara Campbell, NPR News in Washington.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Richard Thompson is one of the few singer-songwriter-guitarists who is extraordinary in each of those three areas. For many years, he's been championed by rock critics who can't quite understand why his records haven't been more popular. Thompson first became known in the late 60s as the guitarist with the British band Fairport Convention. They started a new trend by playing traditional ballads from the British Isles on rock instruments, as well as playing original rock songs influenced by traditional music. Thompson left the band for a solo career and performed with his wife Linda until they broke up in the early 80s. Last year, Rykodisc put out a box set retrospective of his work. Now he has a new album of new songs on Capitol Records called Mirror Blue. We asked him to come on the show to perform some of them. The first song he's going to do is Easy There, Steady Now.
I don't know what I was thinking about when this was written. It's a very kind of paranoid song, it's a kind of a real kind of urban desolation song, I suppose. And, the guy singing the song is really kind of trying to control himself. But yeah, you get the feeling that, you know, he isn't going to succeed. it's a little dark as a song. But I thought, well, you know, dark song, let's put it to a nice wacky sort of polka beat. And that'll fool everybody into thinking it's something a little lighter than it is. So it's got strange things. I play a lot with an acoustic bass player, Danny Thompson, who's no relation. But the arrangement for this, we kind of worked up together. So, you know, some of his ideas went into the arrangement. So it's funny kind of, you know, Bulgarian bits and things in it. I don't know where they come from.
Precious load, spills its guts all over the road. Excuse me, I had to smile, lost my grip too for a while. I said, easy there, steady now. Easy there, steady now. She didn't have the decency to sweep away what's left of me. I don't have the presence of mind to walk along in a straight line. Easy there, steady now, easy there, steady now. I call your name, I call it loud. I see your face in every crowd. Town, Dr. Martin's echo down. Old man heartbreak follows you. Corruption shadow swallows you. I said, easy there, steady now. Easy there, steady now. steady now. Easy there, steady now. Easy there, steady now.
Performing in our studio. This is a song, the song you just did is from his new album, Mirror Blue. You know, I don't know that I could think of another guitarist who combines the best of folk and rock better than you do. And I'd like to go back to when you first got a guitar and ask you about what you were listening to then, what direction you thought you wanted to head in back when you were however old you were.
I don't know if I had a direction, you know. I don't think you think when you're that young, or if you do, you're you know, Mozart or something.
Why do you want a guitar?
What do I want a guitar? There was already a guitar in the house. Yeah, my father played guitar, and there's a lot of guitar music in the house. Yeah, you know, Django Reinhardt records and Les Paul records, and then my older sister, you know, when rock and roll came along, she had Buddy Holly records and Gene Vincent records, so it was lots of guitar stuff. So it was very logical to pick it up and play it. And I really tried to play everything. So I really absorbed, you know, a lot of folk stars and a lot of rock stars, you know, really, you know, probably before I was 15 or 16.
What was your father playing?
He was playing dance band jazz, very badly though. He wasn't, you know, he was just an amateur musician. And
so what context did he play in? He was a policeman?
Yeah. So he was, you know, he just noodled around the house. I mean, I think at some point he was in a dance band, you know, as, you know, the Swinging Cops or something like that. the Four Truncheons. Or
So did you teach yourself?
Taught myself a bit. My sister's boyfriends used to teach me. A couple of her boyfriends, you know, play guitar. So, I, you know, while they were waiting for her to get ready, which is usually a good couple of hours, I get a good guitar lesson, and then I took classical lessons at one point for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when you were say a teenager, mm-hmm. what were the licks that you were trying hardest to learn?
The Buddy Holly sort of stuff. Sorry, I'm in the wrong tune. That sort of Elvis stuff. That sort of stuff. The Shadows, who were a great British instrumental band, were very that kind of stuff. And the sort of the folk stuff, yeah. And away we go, heave away, Santiago. Oh! Bounce off Australia. Hey! A lot of that sort of stuff, you know. I used to go to folk clubs as well, so you'd get a real diet, you know. You'd see someone really good. You see Davy Graham one week, and then somebody like really atrocious next week. But then, you know, you could see blues artists coming to Britain from about 63 onwards, 63, 64.
And did they leave a big impression on you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great. You know, you could see someone, you know, you'd heard on a record and you thought they were dead, and then, you know, they'd turn up. It was just fantastic.
So you were learning to play in many different languages, really, when you were starting.
Really used to play a very wide range of music. And when Fairport started, we were really doing the same kind of thing. You know, we tended to be whatever band was required to get the gig. So if they wanted an acoustic band to play in the folk club, you know, that was us. You know, we just get a repertoire together and do that. And if they wanted a blues band, then, you know, we'd learn some blues and be a blues band. So I suppose it was a good education. And at a certain point, we settled down to playing a kind of, you know, a sort of a traditional-based rock style that's fairly constant, still constant for me.
But you really have a lot of folk in your playing and in your singing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have family from Scotland. You were,
yeah.
You grew up in London. But was it ever a roots kind of thing for you?
It was, yeah. Well, you know, I grew up, you know, listening and not really thinking about, you know, Scottish music. You know, there's a lot of Scottish dance music in the house. And, you know,
That your parents played?
Yeah, or? You know, and the bookshelves were lined with sort of Walter Scott and Robert Burns and stuff, which, you know, out of boredom, you know, I used to read and actually I kind of got into. But back a generation, my family really used to be very musical. You know, my great uncles used to have a dance band, you know, in Scotland. And they play Scottish country music and jazz.
Scottish country music? Is it like just...
Scottish dance music. Yeah,
oh, okay, like, you know, right.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Sorry, I'm in the wrong tuning again.
So,
You know.
Did you like that when you were growing up? Because a lot of people grow up very much disliking the music of their parents and their grandparents, and then when they get older, they go back to it.
I liked it, but I discarded it. I thought it wasn't important, and it definitely wasn't fashionable. You know, until I was about, you know, 17, 18, really. And
why did you go back to it then?
Well, I started to listen to more traditional music, and I started to connect it. You know, going to folk clubs and hearing a really great, you know, Scottish Irish singer. I thought, oh, you know, this all makes sense, you know.
Now, did you think it would make sense within the context of your playing? You know, did you think you'd find a place for it within the context of rock and roll?
No, I really didn't think so. But in Furport, you know, we were sort of a thinking band. You know, we were a bit intellectual, you know, for better for worse. And we used to think, well, you know, what should we do? You know, what's our direction? You know, do we want to be a secondhand British blues band? You know, do we want to be a really lousy soul band? You know, or do we want to be original? And in pursuit of sort of originality and meaning, I think, in our music, it took us to play traditional music with a more contemporary lean. You know, and that for us was satisfying. And we thought, well, you know, here's something that we can do best. Here's something, you know, if Muddy Waters ever tries to sing the Bonnie Bunch of Roses, he'll come really unstuck. You know, we could show him a thing or two.
Time for a short break here, then more of our concert with Richard Thompson of songs from his new album, Mirror Blue. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Richard Thompson, and he's got a new album called Mirror Blue, and he's here with his guitar today playing some songs from the new record.
Whoa.
You want to do another song for us?
Okay, yes.
How about another one from the new album? There's a song called Mingus Eyes, which is Charles Mingus. And
yeah, it refers to Charles Mingus.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to say something about the song?
I could say that I suppose it's a song... of someone looking back at youth, you know, and saying, you know, how stupid people are when they're young, because they think if they look like James Dean, then people will think they're cool and intelligent. Actually, people think they're stupid, you know. And perhaps at some point in your life, you realize that you look stupid. So, you know, in the song, you know, the protagonist says, you know, he used to think, you know, if I talk like Marlon Brando and people can't understand me, and If I make big soulful eyes at people like Charles Mingus, then perhaps they'll think I'm really great, but maybe not. What a thing.
size. Was a time she fell.
Something else I have to say about your guitar playing. It's all the technical virtuosity is in service of the music and the emotion. I just feel like you're such a not show-off player. Yeah, right. Such... Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Yeah, amazing.
I'm sorry. I felt I had to point that out. Yeah. No, anyways,
some of the people,
yeah. I love it. Now I had to talk to you about your voice too. We've been talking about your playing.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days when you were learning Buddy Holly licks and Elvis Presley, you know, things off of Elvis Presley records and stuff. What were you trying to do vocally? Did you think of yourself as a singer yet, or were you just focusing
not really.
On guitar?
I didn't really sing, except for my own amusement. Probably, I'd probably get up in a folk club and sing, but it was pretty awful, I'm sure. I never really, tried to be a singer. Until I think when Sandy Denny left Fairport, then us chaps were sort of looked at each other. who's going to sing? So we sort of reluctantly, took on the roles. But we weren't born singers. I mean, I've really had to work very hard to get anywhere as a singer, and I'm still working at it. And even 10 years ago, I don't think I was very good at all. And 20 years ago, I was pretty horrible. So, singing live a lot and doing solo shows a lot helps me to be better.
When you didn't think of yourself as a singer, did you think the problem was the quality of your voice or your ability to find the pitch or what?
Oh, all of that. I didn't have a very nice sounding voice and I wasn't particularly in tune, all that kind of stuff. And I probably should have trained or something. It would have really helped me.
No, you do have this very...
I disagree.
No, you do have this very, emotionally upfront quality in your voice. You know, you always sound... If the character is being tormented by the memory of somebody, you sound like you are experiencing that torment. You know, I mean, there's just...
my soul is in torment most of the time.
No, but I mean, you do have this very emotionally upfront quality in your singing. Now, for somebody who didn't think of themselves as a singer, usually if somebody doesn't think about themselves as a singer, they're a little bit more like reserved because they're unsure.
Mm. I think sometimes though, it's an advantage to not be a singer. You know, but I think Bob Dylan's a great singer, but you wouldn't say he's a accomplished singer.
Right,
know?
Right.
You know, I think, you know, Randy Newman, you know, sings his own songs really well. You know, Ry Cooder sings his own stuff really well. You know, you can be a singer who gets in the way of the song. You know, you can be a kind of a, dare I say, Michael Bolton. you know, there's a way of singing where you know, you're obviously a great singer, and you know, the idea of singing is to basically show how great you are, and that isn't always good. So, you know, the singing has to service the song.
Excuse me for just like, I don't mean to make yourself conscious or anything, but there's something else you do in your singing. Sometimes at the end of a line, your voice will drop and you'll half speak, half sing a word, really? Which is really effective.
Oh, I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's coming from not being able to hold the notes or something. Do I like? Well, you know, Gordon Lightfoot's a great singer. I've always enjoyed his singing, and I'm probably influenced by, you know, Gordon Lightfoot and people like Muddy Waters. And
Who else?
A lot of, you know, Irish singers like Joe Heaney. You know, where you know the emotional payoff of a traditional song is often when you hit the low note. You know, and shine the bonny bunch of roses, oh, you know, and you get this real sort of wow. You know, it's a nice thing sometimes.
So do you think your voice has...
Neil Diamond does it all the time.
Yeah, hey. Do you think your voice has changed since you started singing a lot?
Oh, yeah, it's got a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my range actually keeps getting bigger, which is it gets higher and lower.
Do you do exercises for it?
I don't know. I just sort of thrash it to death and it seems to work.
That's Richard Thompson. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. More of our concert with Thompson in the second part of our show. Let's end this part with a track from Thompson's new CD, Mirror Blue. The song is Mascara Tears.
When I said those things, I was out of my mind. I was trying to be mean and cruel and unkind. Don't take it too hard.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Borders, where the love of books and music sets the standard. Additional support comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
From Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Coming up, more music and conversation with singer-songwriter-guitarist Richard Thompson. We'll hear more original songs, plus I'll ask him to play a standard, a song we'd be surprised he likes, something we'd consider totally out of character. That's coming up on Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with singer-songwriter-guitarist Richard Thompson. We've been wanting to do a concert with him for a long time. The occasion for today's concert is Thompson's new album of new songs called Mirror Blue. He's going to perform another song from the album. The song's called Taking My Business Elsewhere.
She's not here by now, and I guess she's not coming. If she's not here by now, then I guess she don't care. Waiter, I won't waste your time anymore. You've already started to sweep down the floor. And I guess she's not coming, so I'll head for the door. I'll be taking my business elsewhere. Wasn't for me that spark in her eyes. It wasn't for me that halo in her hair. When she touched me alone, up into my throat. But she must act that way with any old soak. And waiter, you don't seem to share in the joke, so I'll be taking my business elsewhere. She called me her lover, and boldly she me. I'll never get over the sheer surprise of her acting that way. And I'm feeling okay, but for the eyes of her. Oh, it's cold in the rain, and it's dark and it's sad. And I'll miss her tonight on my lonely back stair. Oh, I'm sorry for taking so much of your space. I'll move down the street to some friendlier place. 'Cause I guess she's not coming, and you're sick of my face, I'll be taking my business elsewhere. I'll be taking my business elsewhere.
That's Richard Thompson. Great song. I've come to think of that as your one for my baby.
One for somebody's baby.
Yeah. Now, what about the story behind the song you just sang?
That's just really, you know, it's me sitting down thinking of a story. You know, actually, I was thinking, gosh, I'd love to write a song for Little Jimmy Scott. You know, who's one of my favorite singers. And so I started writing, you know, a song, and it came out as this one. And I thought, well, he couldn't possibly sing this, but I could. So I'll keep it. You know.
What made you want to write a song for him? I mean, he's a jazz singer.
He's a very intense performer and singer. And boy, he sure sounds like he means it. I wish I could sing like him. I thought he'd be my intensity guru.
When you started writing songs, and yeah. I don't know how old you were when you started, did your songs have the kind of emotional pitch that they do in it, that they do now?
I don't think so. I think I'm more focused now, actually. I suppose, you know, over sort of 20, 25 years of writing and performing, you learn you learn more and more what the dross is and what to leave out, and also, you know, what a performance is and what singing is. You know, you've got another 20 years of listening to Hank Williams and you know, learning how to sing with focus. You know.
There's another song I'd like to ask you to do called I Can't Wake Up.
Okay, here it comes.
In my nightmare, everything's wrong. I'm waiting for love, but you come along. You smile, you wave, you kiss me, ciao. But you seem too happy to see me somehow. And then the sky falls in on my head. Your nails grow long, your eyes turn red. You say forever, dear, and a day. You swear that you're never gonna go away. And my feet won't move to run the other way. And I can't wake up to save my life. No, I can't wake up to save my life. In my nightmare, you forgive me, the cruelest gift you could ever give me. I say that you understand me now. Your eyes say, brother, I get you somehow. And then the lightning streaks across the room. You smell like something fresh from the tomb. Squeeze too hard, you insist on kissing, when it seems like half your face is missing, and your hair's turned into reptiles hissing. And I can't wake up to save my life. No, I can't wake up to save my life. I done make my dreams go bad. My foster boy's coming home to dad. What you reap, so shall you sow. Your feet don't fail me. Go, man, go. Cause I can't wake up to save my life. No, I can't wake up to save my life. No, I can't wake up.
Is there a story behind the song?
It's just, you know, just a story. High notes. It's just a dream, you know.
Bad dream.
I suppose it's a kind of, a classic put-down song, really. It's, you know.
My guest is Richard Thompson. He has a new album called Mirror Blue. More of our concert after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with singer, songwriter, guitarist Richard Thompson.
Oh, spare me from having to read your lyrics and sounding
no,
like
me.
I'm giving the squarest reading in the world. So there's something I want to quote here. Can I ask you to quote the line? This is from The Way That It Shows. I just think it's a particularly well-written couple of lines here. Can you quote the first few lines?
Oh, that one. I'm going to give yourself away to some Casanova on the spills and stains of a backstage sofa. He'll catch you yawning with one leg over.
I think that's really great writing. I mean, I think
Casanova over. Well, I, at that point, I was the rhyme scheme was getting desperate. I was running out of possibilities.
I'm not even thinking about the rhyme, but the spills and the stains on the couch. I thought that was really nice.
I was actually thinking of a backstage in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
I can't remember what the place is called. A really sort of rundown rock and roll theater. And it's got the smelliest couch I've ever seen in my life.
Huh.
You know, you can sort of smell the sort of improvised sex oozing off this couch. Quite disturbing.
Now, who are the songwriters you admire?
And
did you ever go through a period of trying to write in the manner of different songwriters, like you went through a period of trying to play in the style of different guitarists?
Yeah, I think it's a great exercise. I still do it. You know, I still think, well, you know, here's a songwriter who, you know, has a great kind of flow or something. You know, why don't I try and write a song in that style? You know, I still do that. You know, early on, I was listening to you know, people like the Everly Brothers and, you know, Phil Oakes and Richard Farina, and I've always been influenced by Scottish ballads. I think that's probably the richest place you can find songs, because they're just so good and they're so stunningly, you know, succinct.
But they tell whole stories.
There's so much in a verse, and it's so beautifully pared down over centuries. Just wonderful stuff. So that's a big influence. And so some of the Scottish, you know, writers like Carolina Oliphant and Burns Walter Scott.
Can I ask you to play a chorus of one of your songs that you feel is especially influenced by traditional Scottish ballads?
Gosh. Okay, let's think of it for a second. Oh, you speak the words locked in my breath, but it's late for me. Let an old man rest. More black and tan on the barricades to keep me safe from loving. I mean, it goes on, but in terms of verse structure, you know, word usage, word repetition, blah, 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 you know, and tune. I mean, it's very...
And the way you sang it.
Very Scottish, yeah.
Yeah.
Richard Thompson will perform more in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Robert Siegel's with us. Let's see what's coming up on All Things Considered. Robert, what do you have on the repercussions of the shelling of the market in Sarajevo?
Well, we'll be hearing from a reporter in Sarajevo today, also from what American policymakers said about Bosnia today and what European ministers agreed on in Brussels. Also, we'll be hearing from two Americans, one, Anthony Lewis, who counsels U.S. intervention, and another, Richard Haass, who agrees we should lift the arms embargo against Bosnia, but not intervene. Also on today's program, we'll be hearing about Honduras, still coping with the legacy of being having been next door to the Nicaraguan Civil War, and about Michael Jordan's crossover.
Thanks, Robert. That and more on All Things Considered from National Public Radio. Back with more of our concert with singer, songwriter, and guitarist Richard Thompson. What I'd like to ask you to do now is sometimes when we have a concert, especially with somebody who writes their own songs, I'd like to ask the performer to do a song that is kind of out of character, something that we might be surprised that you like because it might seem out of character, or a song that a lot of people think of as a kind of square, not very interesting song, but a song that you love and you'd like to resurrect. So any songs you'd want to do that fit into any of those categories?
Well, okay.
I asked him about this earlier, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's something from Carousel.
Great.
I hope. Let me see. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end a golden mile and the sweet silver song of the lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on song, you
know. Well, what made you think of that song?
I don't know. I've always liked it. In England, it's a football song.
Is it really?
It's associated with the Liverpool Football Club, and it's actually a hit for Jerry and the Pacemakers.
But yeah, I don't remember them doing 60. It. Oh.
I don't think they would have released it here. They wouldn't have bothered. But,
I was wondering how you knew all the words. Most people could sing a chorus, but they couldn't get through the whole song.
Well, it does go around again, the same. I think. I was going to spare you that.
I've really just so enjoyed the concert. I'm so thrilled we were able to do this. I want to thank you very, very much.
I'm very grateful you'd have me. Thank you.
Would you like to close with another song from the new album, or if you prefer something earlier? Or?
Yeah, I could do something earlier.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, what would you like?
Do you feel so good?
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you do Feel So Good?
Okay.
This is from a previous album from a couple of years ago called Rumor and Sigh.
It is indeed. Yes. Here we go. Feel so good, I'm gonna break somebody's heart tonight. I feel so good, I'm gonna take someone apart tonight.
They put me in jail for my deviant ways. 2 years, 7 months, and 16 days. Now I'm back on the street in a purple haze. I feel so good. I feel so good. I feel so good. I'm gonna break somebody's heart tonight. So good, I'm gonna make somebody's day tonight. I feel so good, I'm gonna make somebody pay tonight. I'm old enough to sin, but I'm too young to vote. Society been dragging on the tail of my coat. But I've got a suitcase full of 50-pound notes and a half-naked woman with a tongue down my throat. And I feel so good, and I feel so good, I feel so good. I'm gonna break somebody's heart tonight. They made me pay for the things I've done. Now it's my turn to have all the fun. I feel so good, I'm gonna break somebody's heart tonight.
Richard Thompson performing in the Fresh Air studio. Thompson's new album, Mirror Blue, is on Capitol Records. Last year, Rykodisc put out a box set retrospective of Thompson's work. Our concert was produced by Danny Miller and Amy Sallet with Nancy Greenlease and mixed by Audrey Voblaitis. Research assistance from Louisa Shafia. I'm Terry Gross.
You're gonna give yourself away one of these nights. Your gaze of compassion just a little too right. Your hug of encouragement a little too tight. And then you know it's the little things betray.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Actor Gregory Alan Williams, of Baywatch fame, rescued two people at the intersection of Florence and Normandy during the Los Angeles riots. On the next Fresh Air, we talk about why he intervened and how it changed his life, as well as his understanding of race, rage, and responsibility in America. I'm Terry Gross. I hope you'll join us for the next Fresh Air.